to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. You know, from time to time, a man just needs a wake-up call in his life. Sometimes it might be that you find out you're going to be a father. Maybe it's your wife having a conversation saying your marriage is not going the way that you think it is. It could be a job loss. It could be an endless list of things that wake you up. For every guy, it's a little bit different. For some guys, it's incredibly frustrating to see them and to watch them because you wonder, what is it going to take to actually wake them up? Well, on today's podcast, I get the opportunity to talk with Ryan Mickler of Order of Man. Ryan is a husband, a father, an Iraqi combat veteran, and the founder of Order of Man. Ryan has been incredibly honest about the moments in his life that have been a wake-up call. He says, growing up without a permanent father figure, he was left to learn how to be a man on his own and with the help of a few strong men in his life. Ryan believes that most, if not all, of the world's biggest problems, they can be solved if males everywhere just learned how to be a better husband, a better father, a better friend, and certainly a better leader. Ryan, if you know anything about him, is on a laser-focused mission to help all men become the men they were meant to be. Now, on today's podcast, Ryan is going to discuss what has led him to move from a life of just going through the motions to one that is on a passionate pursuit of better. He's not only looking to make himself a better provider, protector, and presider, but Ryan is also looking really to help men do the exact same thing. Guys, I think you'll be blessed and encouraged and challenged by this. If you don't know much about Ryan or Order Man, I think you really want to check him out and what's going on there. So guys, hope you look forward to this podcast. Now it's time for today's show. All right, this time I'll welcome Ryan Mickler to the podcast. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Jared, what's up, brother? Glad to be on today.
Hey, man, you started Order of Man a couple years ago, and it is on fire. Guys, including myself, are just inspired by what I would call your tenacity to be a better guy. Was there a defining moment in your life where passion and awakening just all clicked for you?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it always comes in the darkest times, right? Like, I don't think it has to be that way, but sometimes it seems like that, especially with men. I mean, we tend to be hard-headed and stubborn at times. I know that certainly is true for me. I went through a separation with my wife about 9 years ago. It was 9 years ago. And anybody that's listening that's been through a separation or a divorce knows how dark a time that actually can be. And for me, that was the darkest time of my life. I've been to Iraq, and I've done some other things, and I had some father figures come in and out of my life, and for me, that was the darkest time I've ever been through. And through that dark and as hard and challenging as it was, I learned a lot about who I was. And I had to learn how to stand on my own 2 feet, which up to that point, I never really had to do. Mm. You know, I could rely on my mom. I could rely on the military. I could rely on a boss. I could rely on, in many cases, my wife. And when she wasn't there, all that was stripped away from me. And here I stood on my own, right?
Right.
And so now trying to figure out how to stand on my own 2 feet and be the man that I knew I wanted to be, but just didn't quite have a stronghold or a grasp on how that could actually work. So I really went to work on myself during that time. We went through, I think it was a 3.5 to 4 month separation. I know guys have obviously been through longer separations than that, but man, I really took that time to go to work on myself. I surrounded myself with good guys. I identified some people in my life who were doing better things than I was in some certain areas, and asked them and learned from them and asked them to mentor and coach me, and certainly that helped. Really got my fitness and in check, and my bank account in check. I mean, all this stuff that I went to work on for me, for myself. And what was really fascinating is that as I went to work on myself, she responded to that. You know, she saw what I was doing. She saw the man I was becoming. She saw the potential I had, I guess, if you will, and recognized that, okay, Ryan is somebody that I want to be with. And fortunately, we were able to salvage our marriage, and we've been married for 13 years this year with 4 kids. As great as that is, and it truly is that was the awakening for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what catapulted me on this journey of becoming a better man and now sharing it with millions of men across the planet.
Yeah, one of the things that's I feel magnetic about you is you're incredibly open about sharing the guy you used to be and the guy that you're becoming. And you've referenced, even right now, you've referenced, you know, these kind of these male role models who are in and out of your life, and they were not always the best examples of what it meant to be a man. But as you have videos and pictures of you coaching your boys' teams, do you see your younger self in any of the boys who are on any of those teams? And what would you tell them if you could go back to that younger Ryan and say, man, you need to know this?
Yeah, that's a good question. And of course, I see myself in those boys, especially the ones who don't have father figures in their lives. And it's actually pretty fascinating. We just started football season just last week, and we've got our first game this week and practice, I think, on Wednesday. We've actually have a lot of fathers that are involved this year, which is really exciting to me because I've been part of our community sports programs, coaching in some capacity or another, for the past probably 6 or 7 years. And there's been years where we just haven't had any fathers who are involved. They're out on work, or they're not in the picture at all. It's disheartening, to say the least, because I know exactly what those young men will go through. And not to say that you can't be successful without a father figure. You know, I feel like I'm somewhat of a success in my life, and I didn't have a father figure. But for me, you know, what do I tell them? At the age that I'm coaching right now, I've got my oldest son. He's 9, so I'm coaching his team. It's not really about telling him anything as much as it is showing him what it means to be a man, and then teaching them the idea and the principles of life on the football field. Hard work, dedication, discipline, commitment, doing things that you don't want to, bearing down, having some mental fortitude, some emotional resiliency, some physical toughness. All these things are very, very important, especially for a young man who specifically is not growing up with men in his life. I think it's very important that he compete in some sort of competitive sporting environment. He doesn't have to be the superstar. He doesn't have to be the all-star. He doesn't have to start. But he should be around other boys, around other coaches who are anxiously engaged in helping raise men.
Well, that's good. You know, one of the things, you know, as you talk about your kid being 9 years old, your kids, as they get older, they start to see if what you say and what you do lines up, you know, and,
sure.
and our spouses already know that. They knew that pretty quickly, about 10 minutes into being married to us, what we say and what
that's
we
right.
do. So
that's right.
what would your wife say about the transformation that's happened to you and maybe the way that guys are responding to the message that you share? I mean, she's seeing this. She's obviously buying into it. So what would she say about this?
Well, you know, I can't speak for her, but I know she's been very, very happy, of course, with the progress and the process, and she's inspired by what I'm doing with Order of Man and seeing that this is impacting millions of people. What's really interesting is I get a lot of guys who say, you know, I want to start a podcast, or I want to start a business, or I want to start a group, or I want to get guys together in my area, or whatever, you know, and they're modeling what we're doing with Order of Man, which I think is great. I say go for it. But it's really interesting when I hear sometimes the next sentence is, but my wife doesn't believe in me, or my wife's not on board with it, or it's like, well, first and foremost, that's not a prerequisite to doing it. Like, she doesn't need to believe in you for you to do it. You're the man. You are a man. So if you have conviction about something, do it. That's number one. Number two, you can't even take the trash out if you say you're going to. So what makes you think that she would believe in you in starting this new venture?
Mm-hmm.
So I think first and foremost, you've got to prove it. Like, you're not entitled. Even a wife who you have vowed to honor and cherish and love till death do you part, you're not entitled to her support. You're not entitled to her emotional, like, belief in you. That has to be earned. It's not just given to you. So I think my wife may have been skeptical at first, knowing that I have bounced around from position to position, job to job, and you know, we've always had a moderate level of success in any venture I've tried because I think that's just in my nature. But she didn't have any reason to believe I could turn this and make this a success. But she's seeing that now, and because I've proved it, and I've showed her how committed and dedicated and disciplined I am to making this work, and we're realizing the fruits of that effort now. You know, 2.5 years into this thing, and she's recognizing not only monetarily how valuable this can be for our family and what we're bringing into the household, but how valuable it is not just to a couple guys here and there, but millions of men across the planet. That's inspiring to me, all because I didn't need her permission or anybody else's. I just went out and did it.
Right. I think that's why so many guys quit. I remember when I told my wife about pursuit of manliness, she told me the toilet was leaking. And so if I wanted to practice manliness, go fix the toilet.
And exactly,
That's not what I wanted to hear. I wanted her to say, yes, how much money do you need to do this? But I mean, it just changes the culture in your home when your word and your action line up. And I don't know if guys get that all the time.
Well, I think, I mean, just to go on that a little bit, and I know we can get down a rabbit hole, and maybe we do or maybe we don't address something else, but I think it's really fascinating when I look back in my life and think about when I have been the most dissatisfied with my life and the times that I can think of in my life where I've been unhappy and maybe even bitter and resentful, just negative, if you will, is when I had a vision for who I wanted to be and what I wanted to be doing, and it wasn't in line with the actions required to get to that point. And that lack of clarity and congruency between what I wanted and who I was being, I think that's the most damaging, difficult time for any human being, not just men. So I think the closer we can get to bridging the gap and getting closer to what we know we want to be and then the actions required to get to that point, that's a beautiful thing. And you really start to live your life exponentially, if you will, and people recognize that, and you can be not only a catalyst for change in your life and your family and community and that, but those who want to be inspired as well by what you're doing.
Amen, man. When you talk about that word inspired, that's what the next thing I was going to talk to you about. You're clearly an inspiration to a lot of guys. I think you said you had over 3 million downloads recently on iTunes, and the numbers are just awesome to see that. And I want you to know, like, we're cheering from the side here. You're a distant mentor to so many guys. So my question to you is, who motivates you? Like, who's your mentor? Who do you look up to and learn from?
You know, I get that question a lot, and it's hard for me to narrow down one specific person because there's so many different facets of life, right? That's part of it. And I just learn from everybody. I mean, I look at guys who are absolutely failing in certain elements of their life, and I think to myself, I can be inspired to learn from this person. What has this person done that I want to avoid doing, right?
Sure.
Versus on the opposite side of that is I look at somebody who is having tremendous levels of success, you know, specifically for the space that we're in is, you know, Brett McKay with Art of Manliness. I look at what he's doing and how many millions and millions of men he's inspired across the planet, and I think that's inspiring to me. And him and I have managed to build a friendship over the past couple of years because we're in the same space, and I appreciate and recognize him for who he is. Another man that I can think of is Jordan Harbinger with The Art of Charm, doing some very amazing things with his podcast and his brand, and the boot camps that he runs for guys is inspiring as well. So I try to look for – you know, I remember, and I can't really remember the specifics, but I remember – that I think I must have been like fifth or sixth grade. This is going to be really interesting because I've never told this story and I'm trying to recall it here. And I had to go speak to my elementary school, like the entire school. And there was this girl who had to speak as well, and she went before me, and she really, really struggled with that speech that she did. And I thought to myself, man, I never want to be in that situation. Like, I never want to be in this situation where I did – and mind you, I'm like sixth grade, right? So I'm, what, 11 years old? And I'm thinking to myself, like, why did she flop? Like, why did she flounder so bad? She just wasn't prepared. And so to me, that was an opportunity to learn. Okay, if I want to be a great public speaker and I want to do this because it was exciting at the time, then I've got to realize I've got to be prepared. So the point I'm making, the moral of the story, is you can gain inspiration and insights from everywhere, including failures in life, in order to keep yourself from going down a path you're not interested in going down.
One of the things that helps with that is having some people that will speak truth into your life, who will tell you the hard things. Do you have anybody in your life that you could share that say, hey, that's the guy that has permission to speak hard truth into my life?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my wife obviously can do that. You know, she's got the responsibility and the mantle of being able to do that. But then I've got a couple of close friends who I've actually given permission, like literally said, hey, I want you to tell me the truth about how I'm coming across and how I'm behaving. We've got a mastermind group that we run as well within our organization. And as much as I could call myself the, you know, quote unquote leader because I started the group, I look at myself as somebody who's participating in the discussions as well. So I've got team leaders within our membership site. I think there's 20 team leaders, and we meet on a weekly basis, and every single one of those guys has permission to show me my blind spots. You know, here's where you're doing well, Ryan. Here's where you're struggling. Here's where you're falling behind. Here's what I see that you don't see. Here's how you can improve this. Here's how you can make this better. And the way that I've given permission is, A, I've given them permission, right? Told them they can.
Right.
But the other side of that, and here's what we're lacking a lot. I think guys really miss this point of things. Because you might go to your wife or a buddy or something and say, hey, I really give you permission to like tell me where my blind spots are and help me out so that I can see these things and improve. And then we flip out when they tell us, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so essentially what ends up happening is you gave permission for them to do it, and then you just stripped away the permission when you acted like a-hole when they actually gave you the feedback you were looking for. So secondary to giving somebody permission is you've got to accept what they're giving you as the reality. The reality is you're being viewed a certain way. You may not believe it. You may not think that you are. You may not want to. But the reality is you're being viewed a certain way. And so isn't that valuable information? And if you act like an a-hole about it, then, you know, they're not going to give you their feedback anymore because it's too big of a risk for them. So give them permission and then thank them for the constructive criticism they're giving you.
Man, that's gold. If we could get every man to understand that, we'd have different homes, different marriages.
Yeah, it's hard because of that ego, right? I mean, gets in the way and, oh, I can't be right. It couldn't be possibly be my fault. And I thought that. Going back to the separation I had with my wife is for a long time I blamed her, man. How could she do this? Why was she doing this? Why was she disloyal? Why wasn't she doing the things that I thought a good wife should do? And I woke up, I don't know, maybe like a month into or a couple months into the separation, I thought, maybe, just maybe I've got something to do with the demise of our relationship. And that was a sobering thought. I didn't want to think that. But at the same time, it's very liberating because it gave me control. Right. And so a lot of people think that, you know, being prideful and boosting yourself up is strength, especially among men. And we see a lot of this false pride type stuff. Mm-hmm. But in reality, humility is strength. And that's one of the things that I share a lot is that humility is strength because the humble man, and I'm not saying like meek, like you need to like go around with your head down and not feel confident in yourself. I'm saying humble. And so a humble man is a strong man because he recognizes, and I recognize, man, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not perfect at this, but I want to be. I want to be good. And so in order to do that, I've got to improve. I was on I got invited to go down to Texas a couple of weeks ago to record a course for a friend of mine, and Mike Dillard, who's a self-made man, who's another person I really admire and respect. He asked me to come down and record this course. Well, some of the things that he was doing with his recordings, I had never done before. He had a teleprompter on some of the stuff, and then there was a couple key points where I was like, I've never done this before. But rather than go in there and pretend like I had it all figured out, I was very, very humble and just saying, hey, I've never done the teleprompter before. Can you walk me through it? Oh, yeah, no problem. And one of the greatest compliments I received at the end of our course that we recorded is the gal that was running the course. She said, you know what I really admire about you is that you're very teachable. You're very coachable.
Wow.
And that to me is a great compliment.
Yeah.
Not that – I mean I would have loved, hey, you're very confident. You're great in front of the camera. Hey, don't get me wrong. I like that stuff. But if somebody says you're very coachable, I'm like, good. That's what I'm going for. I'm here on this planet to learn, to grow, to expand, to develop. And in order to do that, I've got to be humble about what I don't know.
Absolutely, man. That's good. That's with that in mind, you're a father. You also own a dog, but that's a different conversation. You're a father. So when you think about your boy –
I don't know. Some people would say like dog ownership is like fatherhood. I don't agree, but you know, some people say that.
Well, there's some –
it's always funny to hear somebody who doesn't have kids say, oh, yeah, I know what it must be like to have kids because I have two dogs. I'm like, you have no idea.
No, not even close.
I can appreciate your dog ownership, but you are not a parent.
So with that in mind, when you look at your boys with what you're doing in life, I know that, you know, your actions speak louder than your words. What do you hope they see from you and that they take into adulthood as they get closer to that every day?
Man, that great question. So much to that. And I think we could probably talk all day about what lessons I'm trying to teach. You know, at the end of the day, I want them to see me take risks, right? Like, right. Hey, I believe this way or I'm thinking about doing this. And they see dad go from concept to reality, right? Like, hey, I thought about Order of Man and I just didn't think about it. I actually did it. Right? Or,
right.
You know, let's see, last year I went on the Spartan Agogi, which is a 60-hour endurance event. It's absolutely ridiculous. I've never done anything like it before. Well, kind of. I did some basic training, but it's different. So I told my kids, I'm going to go do this. And I could have flaked out. There was plenty of opportunities for me to say, no, I'm tired or I'm sick or my leg hurts or this or that or I'm busy or whatever. Or I don't want to leave my kids. You know, that's the noble excuse that we hear a lot.
Sure, sure.
Oh, I got my family, so I can't go work out. You can do both. But I want them to see me do that because I talked about it. Then they need to see me execute and follow through with it.
Yeah.
So there's that. The other side of it is that, and I say this to my kids, they roll their eyes when I say this, is I say Micklers do hard things.
Yeah.
Micklers do hard things. So when they're complaining about school or they're complaining about sports or they don't want to do their chores or they don't want to do this or piano lessons, blah, 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 all the little things that kids say, Micklers do hard things. And they get that. They understand that. That we don't shy away from a challenge. We don't shy away from things just because they're a little difficult. In fact, we double down. and we enjoy the things that are difficult because it makes us better and makes us stronger. So among thousands of other lessons that I want to teach my kids, those are a couple that stand out.
Okay, well, now, as much as we don't want to admit it, boys and girls are different, and you parent them different, and you lead them different, you love them the same but still different. So when you think about, I hate thinking about this, I have two daughters myself, but I think about their future husband and their future in-laws. They're out there somewhere. They're already born somewhere. What kind of man do you hope will eventually marry your daughter, will be your future son-in-law?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully one like me. In most cases, you know, 80% like me, maybe.
Sure, sure.
Because there's things that I fall short on too, right? You know, here's the deal. My job is as a parent is to render myself obsolete. And a lot of people look at that and they're like, oh, no, you know, I want to cuddle my kids, I want a baby, I want a bubble wrap, and they do. And they probably would never say that,
right?
But their actions, again, actions speak louder than words. Their actions are telling everybody. They just want to like comfort and secure and put an umbrella and bubble wrap their kids their entire life. I want somebody who's going to be – I want my children to be independent, right? Mm-hmm. But I want my daughter to find a man who can stand on his own 2 feet, who doesn't quote-unquote need my daughter.
Sure.
Right? Like he wants to be with her. He wants to love her. He wants to support and protect and guide and lead and all these things that we talk about. But he doesn't need because he's strong enough as on his own 2 feet. That to me is somebody who's independent and fully capable of leading a family. And so when I talk with guys about what does it mean to be a man, which is something we talk about all the time, it's three very simple things. Not easy, simple. Protect. A man is a protector.
Sure.
A man is also a provider. And I'm not talking about just financial provision, although that is certainly comes into play, but emotional support, mental support, love, support, guidance, direction, a little toughness at times, but provision. And then the third is to preside, to lead. And when I look at a future son-in-law, I want to be able to look at those three things and say to myself that this young man has the capacity, probably isn't an expert yet,
sure,
but has the capacity to be those three things.
Man, I like that. I like that. I think all of our men need to hear that. I say it all the time. Those guys are out there somewhere. So they might be – his father may be in one of your groups at some point. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Beyond Order of Man, the obvious thing, the one that's on the surface. You've hinted at a couple. But what other projects you got going on right now that you could tell our listeners about and maybe why they're so important to you?
So, yeah, you know – I've always been a guy that's like an idea guy. You know, the bright, shiny object guys, like, oh, there's a bright, shiny object. Chase that. Oh, okay. I found it and I caught it. Now I'm bored. Now, like my dog, like I've got two dogs and my the one we just got, he's 9 months. He's a German Shepherd. He's a big boy. He's a puppy, right? And so he'll go chase something or chase a ball or a toy or whatever. And he'll get it. And he's like, okay, I caught it. Now, like, what do I do with it? And then he just drops it and he's on to the next thing. But aren't we all kind of like that?
Absolutely.
Right? And I do the same thing. So, but what's really interesting within Order of Man is I've managed to harness that a little bit, and I think part of it has to do with the passion and the excitement that I have and the engagement level with what I'm doing. I found something that I truly love, and I was thinking about this last night. In fact, I'll probably do a video about this, is that I believe to a large capacity – I really haven't talked about this because I just was thinking about it last night – is that I feel called to do this work at this point. I think that there's been a lot of things in my life through the separation I went through and my dad not being in the picture in the military service and all of the things that I've gone through. And I really feel like that was preparing me for the work that I'm doing right now. And I'm not in ministry and I don't talk too much about religion or even spirituality.
Sure.
But the reality is, like, I'm called to do this work, and so it keeps my attention. But that said, I'm able to do so many different things within this business. We've got live events that we're doing. We run a 3.5-day immersive experience with men, where my sole purpose is to make them bleed, sweat, and cry. You know, so we do that. Well, that's what we need, right? I mean,
that's
guys
right.
need that.
That's right.
And we get out of high school, we get out of military, we get out of college or whatever, and we stop doing those things.
I agree. Like,
we don't bleed, we don't sweat, we don't cry for the most part. So we've got that going on, live meetups. I'm writing a book right now. So there's a lot of projects going on. But at the end of the day, like, and somebody asked me this the other day. They said, if money wasn't a concern, would you still be doing this? I thought a lot about that. My knee-jerk reaction is no, I wouldn't. But I don't know if that's entirely true. I just may be doing it in a different capacity. But I would certainly be a lot more involved with traveling the world with my kids and doing a lot of experiences, which we've got a 2-week vacation planned the end of this year. So, like,
nice.
Really trying to find the balance between how do I create a business that impacts millions of men across the planet and and at the same time gives me the time freedom.
Absolutely. Hey, Ryan, one of the things that I admire about you, it's hard to get guys to read, and you're an obsessive reader. So we always ask people when they come on this podcast, what are you reading right now, or maybe something that you would recommend guys to read that you have read in the past?
Oh, man, so many books. Wild at Heart is a great book. That's one I recommend all the time. John Eldridge. I don't know if you've read that before. Really good book. Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink is another really, really good book. The one that I've read quite a bit, a lot lately, is As a Man Thinketh. Very quick read. James Allen. It was written 100 years ago or something. I don't know the exact number, but written a long time ago. But it's about creating the right mindset, positive mindset, positive mind frame, and how that creates your own reality. So I think that's a really good – so those are three. Start with those three. Okay. Like if you were to read three books in the next 3 months, let's say, read a book a month, I'd say Extreme Ownership, Wild at Heart, and then As a Man Thinketh.
Okay. Hey, man, I appreciate it. And if there are guys out there, and I'm sure there's still a handful, who maybe haven't heard of what you're doing, what's the best way to get in touch with – like where would they find Order of Man if they're going to start getting connected with what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, whatever medium is your thing, right? So if you listen to podcasts, you're listening to this, so you must be listening to podcasts. Just type in Order of Man. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find us there. The website, the headquarters, is orderofman.com. And then all of our social media profiles, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we've got a cool Facebook group, 37 thousand guys in there or so right now. All of it is at Order of Man. So we're really easy to find. If you want to find us, you'll find us. Just Order of Man. It'll pull all up for you.
Fantastic, man. Hey, man, I cannot thank you enough for making time to be on this podcast. I appreciate what you're doing. And I just hope that you keep that fire lit, man, and just keep lighting that fire under other guys and helping them protect, preside, and I forgot the other one. So thanks, man.
Protect, provide, preside.
I knew I was going to get the – I knew once I started, that's why I don't name stuff. So, hey, Ryan, I just want to say –
you haven't been saying it for 2.5 years. I have, so hopefully I remember. I don't expect you to, though.
It's right in my notes, though. That's the thing. I can laugh at myself, man. But, Ryan, thank you for doing this, man, and we really appreciate what you're doing.
I'm honored, brother. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, I want to thank you for listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. That was Ryan Mickler of Order of Man. As he said, orderofman.com. You can find him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, iTunes. As he said, anywhere that you are probably looking, he's there. He's a great follow. He's got great content. He is on a relentless pursuit of being a better man, but also inspiring other men to do the same. Guys, I hope it's a blessing to you as it was to me. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us at thepursuitofmanliness.com. Of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is all Pursue Manliness. This podcast is on iTunes and YouTube. And so if you'd leave us a review or something there, that would be great. Guys, I want to thank you for listening and hope you keep pursuing manliness.
One thing you will see is that you're loved by this king, and you ain't born to be no average Joe.